Welcome to Big Blend Radio, where we celebrate variety and how it adds spice to quality of life. Hey, everybody, it is Cinco de Mayo here on the Big Daily Blend podcast. You know, every first Sunday we have Johnny Schaefer, who's an amazing vocalist and composer and producer, and he is back on the show. So every first Sunday, I said, Johnny, it is Cinco de Mayo. And he's like, cool, let's do it. So that's what we're doing. And I encourage you to go to his website, hearjohnny.com, H-E-A-R, hearjohnny.com, and also keep up with him on YouTube and Spotify. Go listen to his music. We're going to talk about music. And he's got a special guest in the wings for us today. But Johnny, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Lisa. How's everything going there in Georgia?
Well, in Georgia, we're going to celebrate Cinco de Mayo, but actually we're airing this in South Carolina, but it doesn't matter. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump around. But
there you go. Okay, there
I know
you
we're
go.
Recording this in Georgia and then crossing the state line. But Cinco de Mayo, but honestly, this show really is about celebrating Mexico and the people and cultures and customs of Mexico, right? And the beauty of Mexico. And I think the shared unity of the people between America and Mexico, that we're all connected and we're all one big family. And, you know, so that's what I think. This is not just about one day, because people can listen to this podcast and we'll be talking about food. We're going to be talking about music, all kinds of good stuff, a little history. Isn't that right, Johnny? I think this is like just we're celebrating Viva La Mexico, right? I should say Mexico.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love the people in Mexico so much, and the culture, and as you said, the food, and I love the music that comes out of there. And I'm really excited about talking about all that stuff today.
Now tell us who your featured guest is today.
My husband Paco is joining us, and we've talked about him quite a bit on the show. He's makes my music videos, and you know, he's just really creative and amazing cook, and very knowledgeable about a lot of different things. And he has, you know, a lot of perspective on this as someone who has lived in both the U.S. and in Mexico. You know, he was born and spent his early childhood in Mexico, and then as an adult, he's lived in the U.S. So he has a lot of a very interesting take on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it'd be really wonderful to bring on the show with us.
Finally, I'm just saying, you know, you've talked about him a lot. So welcome, Paco. How are you, Paco? Welcome to the show.
I am. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. This is my debut in a radio show. I have never participated in a radio show. So thank you so much for having me. Thank you, Johnny, and thank you, Lisa, for the invitation.
Oh, and, you know, Nancy's just upset that she's not here, but she's helping some artists on some work. But she just is kind of bummed because, you know, Johnny's always raving about you, and we watch all the videos that you've made for Johnny's music, and you know, we love the work that you do. I mean, it's just, it's vibrant and it tells a story, and you've got that way of understanding each beat of the song, each lyric, and just connecting it all together. So you're very, very talented in what you do.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. I try to do my best that, I try to reinvent every single video that I make, try not to, just to be different and also feel the song. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree. And whenever I make a video for Johnny, I give him my cut, which is what I do with most of my clients. I give them what I feel, unless they give me instructions from the beginning. But otherwise, if they just let me choose and do my thing, then I'll do it. And if they like it, or they want modifications, that's fine. If they wanted to redo it, then I'll just ask them, well, now you just give me instructions and I'll try to achieve what you want. So, when it comes to creativity, it's not easy, but it's a fun... Yeah, it's a fun road to go. It's thinking, how can I do this? How can I make it work within my capabilities and also my software and also the effects and everything. It's just like, how can I serve the song the best in visuals? So yeah, but thank you.
And you've won awards for this, isn't that right, Johnny?
That's right. In fact, we just got news this morning that the music video for While You Are Right in Front of Me is a semifinalist in the Santa Fe Movie Awards.
That's a
And
really big deal. You know,
that's
Santa Fe is a hub. Like, that's a really big deal for Santa
Yes.
Fe, New Mexico. That's a big deal. Like,
Oh yeah.
really. It's
Yeah. Yeah.
big. I mean it. I have to say.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. I thought, oh, it'd be fun to, to see, this festival focuses on indie projects, and they really want to highlight the work of people that aren't, tied to big industry conglomerates and things like that. And so they shine a light on the work of, people like us. And so we were really thrilled to get that news this morning.
Wow. And then tell
Yay.
everybody about the other recent award too that you won.
Well, yeah, so the same video was a an official selection in the Pasadena International Film Festival. And that's the festival that You Can't Hide the Light. We won Best Music Video last year. This year, we were actually the only music video that was accepted into the festival. So they had a number of music videos submitted, and ours was the only one they chose to feature. And it's really fun to see, our work on the big screen, to hear my song bouncing around the theater, and to see, it's weird to see my face that big. But
Oh.
Paco does a good job of making me look good. So, and he, during COVID, he hunkered down and just really investigated what all the software can do, and created really beautiful visuals, graphics that really highlight what the song is all about.
Wow. So, Paco, what's it like to see the video like on like the screen, like what Johnny was going through? Were you going through the same thing as the video maker?
Definitely is a very nice experience, because it's not the same when you see it on your screen, your regular monitor at home, or your tablet, or even the TV, or the phone. But sitting in a movie screen where everything is dark and it's actually set for a projection to show, it made me happy. I'm a very modest person, and I don't like attention, but it's one of I was proud. I was really proud. I mean, of course, I saw details that I was like, oh, I should have done, and I have to correct this. And I have, you see all the details. As a video maker, you see the details that I should correct, maybe, or I should have done. But besides that, I think my work had quality, and I was proud. It's one of those moments that I felt proud. I felt happy just to see
Oh, that's
my,
awesome.
my project. Yeah, my project on the screen. And I created the video, and then my friend Daniel Henry Smith helped me to polish it, because he has the knowledge of polishing, color correction, and all that. And by the time I was done with the video, I was mentally tired, plus I had some other work projects. And I didn't want to spend a lot of time doing and learning something that I wasn't, back then I wasn't capable to do. Now I am more capable, and I have the correct equipment. But I'm very lucky to have my friend Daniel and willing to help me to polish in this. So yeah, it was a great experience. And also just watching it on the big screen, it was very good. It was a very good experience.
Was going to say, Johnny, I think that's the thing. These kinds of projects take all kinds of people to come together. And it's basically like Paco was saying, it's like, okay, I've got this friend who can do this better. Let him do it, right? And isn't that what happens with here's one song and like all these different people are part of making something happen? You know, it's a community,
Yeah,
really.
oh, absolutely. Yeah, Walt Disney always talked about that, He said, you know, I'm not particularly that talented, but I know how to bring people together. That, you know, he was always on the lookout for people who excelled at doing specific things that he needed to have done. And so he found the best person that could do each different thing. And so he just assembled this team of amazing people. And, you know, with every project we do, like when we did You Can't Hide the Light, you know, I had this vision of having the dancers and everything that are in that video. And we Paco and Daniel were friends with the people at the Pasadena, or the Lineage Performing Arts Center in Pasadena. And they have a choreographer there, and Hillary Thomas. And so we approached her, and then she, you know, brought the dancers in. And then we, you know, Paco and Daniel had a specific idea about how to photograph it. And, you know, it's one long, uninterrupted scene where the camera just keeps going back and forth. And then the dancers and Melissa Manchester and I come in and out of the shot. And that was really tricky to coordinate. And so they, you know, brought in another person to help them with all of that. And so, yeah, it's all about collaboration and, you know, finding people that share your vision and have the same, you know, the same, or that can do things that you can't do, or, you know, we can, each of us can only do so much. And so it's always, you know, it's budget, of course, plays a big part. One thing that I've been really proud of both years when our videos were screened was every other video that and short film that we saw at the end, there was this long list of people involved, you know, like, you know what, Paco, 20 or 30 people or more. And yeah. Than ours, it's this tiny little crew. And I'm just so proud of what, you know, we were all able to accomplish. You know, Stefan Oberhoff produced that track, you know, musically with me. Our friend Wendy McKenzie sang backup on that track. And so, yeah, a lot of people get involved. But I will also say that, you know, for the budget that we have and the small team that we have, we are our product stands up against, you know, others that have way more people involved. So I'm kind of proud of that too.
Yeah, you should be. I mean, that's a thing. And I think sometimes when you have a big budget, you blow it on things that you probably didn't need, you know, and I think you get more creative, the tighter the budget, you know, you have to, and it forces you into a new place. And Paco, I can hear you. Is that true for you as a filmmaker?
Well, I just wanted to add to what Johnny said first, before I forget. I think the key is also respect. We respect everybody's idea and everybody's feel, right? I'm not going to tell the dancers how to dance. I'm not going to tell, whenever Daniel and I work, Daniel is not only my friend, but he's also my mentor. He had taught me so many things about filmmaking. So whenever he's directing, I follow his direction and vice versa. So that's, even though we both are creators and we both have input, we share the idea, we do post-production, we spend time doing post-production. So since the budget is very tight, the production is, it has to be fast. So, but we both spend time in post-production, talking to the talent and making sure that we're ready whenever the camera is rolling. And
I love it.
Yeah, but I think the key is, I think one of the, again, the most important thing is respect, because I believe that I became a better professional because of my friend Daniel, but also, I do believe that he's always a team player. He's not like, I am the director. And so that's a good thing. It's always, it's just, again, respecting, but at the same time, not impose, but just let him know that we're working together. So I think that's the key whenever we're working in a tight budget production. And it's harmony. Yeah, it takes time, but it just at some point, I mean, we have to make so many things. Not only that, I mean, it's also the talent, right? Because we have to respect them too, respect their time. So,
Well,
but yeah, so far it's been a very great experience working with Johnny, working with Melissa, and working with Daniel and some other people, and yeah, I believe again that respect and harmony is always important whenever we're making a production.
I love that because I think that's what it comes to in music, and bands that always have the big drama and the fights, it's like somebody's ego went somewhere, right? Unless, it's Fleetwood Mac and everybody was sleeping with each other. But, it's, but there is ego involved, right? And you have to have a little ego to push through and stand up. And I actually would rather say pride or confidence would be the word. It's confidence would be it. And sometimes you have to have a fake confidence to move forward. So I just, to me, it's like when I look at everything, I as being in a band myself and everything and years ago, it was always about go out there and be able to bear your soul. You have to be around the right people. And sometimes you have to bear your soul, even if they, aren't the right, they may not be the nicest people, but because sometimes it's about what they can do. But it's really nice when you work with the right team. It's almost like a marriage in a way where you can just be and let things be what they need to be and allow the creativity to flow where it needs to go. Let everyone do what they're good at and not have that ego that can ruin it. And in the creative world, the ego is like a destruction. But sometimes some of the best creative people are the biggest egomaniacs, So it's kind of a weird thing. I think if you're going to be an egomaniac, you better have a lot of money. Because otherwise, because you're going to have to keep hiring people. And that's in business too. It's in anything in life, right? But let's talk about Mexico now, because Nancy and I used to live in Mexico, just south of Ensenada, near La Bufadora, in a place called Punta Banda. Beautiful area, expat community, and we were there to take care of my grandparents. And it is a wonder. It was one of the most wonderful experiences in my life, and have dear friends from it. And couldn't speak higher about it. And I know Johnny, you've been back and forth, especially Paco coming from Mexico, the family there. Paco, can you tell us a little bit about the community that where you were born and what it's like?
Well, I was born and raised in Mexico City, the south part of Mexico City, and I have to say that I'm very happy. I mean, I'm extremely proud to be a capitalino, which is someone from the capital of the country. There are so many nicknames for people who are from Mexico City. And I don't use any of those because I don't know the meaning, especially Chilango. I don't know what Chilango means.
I don't know.
There are so many theories about Chilango. They say that at some point there were migrating fish, very colorful migrating fish that come to the lake and just for mating season, and then they left. And some people say that Chilango is someone from outside of Mexico City and come and stay. Well, for me, it's just I'm a capitalino. I'm Mexican, and then I'm capitalino, which is from the capital. And yeah, I have to say that I'm very happy to be from Mexico City because everything kind of looks it's more colorful, I guess, and it's more festive, and everything tastes better. Without disrespecting, all the cuisines that blend in Mexico City, because a lot of dishes, national dishes, come to Mexico, and somehow we just modify them in order to, for my opinion, in order to taste better. But again, I don't want it to. It's about taste, right? But yeah, I'm from Mexico City, and I'm very, very happy and proud. Yes.
And Mexico City, from everything I've heard and seen, it just looks so historic and beautiful and vibrant. You've got wonderful art museums there. mean, the arts are alive. And then you've got a volcano. I remember, Johnny, last time you guys went down there, I think it was, I was like, the volcano is erupting. I'm like, Johnny, get out. But then don't, it might be interesting, but don't go in there. You know, it's kind of like Hawaii, you know, how that happened. So yeah, didn't that happen when you were there the last time, or was it the time before? I can't remember, but
We saw the smoke for sure. We didn't. We were. It wasn't. I mean, I remember when Mount St. Helens blew, even down in, here in California. You know, like there was. It affected things. I didn't really notice that. You know, that the volcano affected. We were far enough away, I guess, that like the sky didn't get dark or anything like that. And, I guess, Paco, did we see some ash? I don't even remember.
we didn't see any ash when we went there, when we were there. Yeah, we have two volcanoes. One is totally dead. The other one is active. And once in a while, yeah, they get flares and ashes. But yeah, we didn't. I mean, we were lucky enough that it didn't happen. I mean, the government was recommending to just for travelers to be cautious. But yeah, luckily we didn't have that. So.
And where you guys were in Mexico City, and I remember you diving in like underground caves. Are they called cenotes? I don't know what the right word is for that, but cenotes. Yeah, I didn't know if it was Mexican or not. Like, I don't know if that was like a normal, term for the geological thing, or if that was a Mexican term. I didn't know cenotes. So, I mean, is that because I didn't know if that was something you find around the world like that, you know?
I think it's pretty much a Mexican. A cenote is a body of water that is underground, and yeah, that's what it's they call it cenotes. It's in a cave. I mean, to access it, you go on in a cave, and then you'll see clear, pure water. And
Wow, that's amazing though, isn't it? I mean, that's like when we lived in near La Bufadora. La Bufadora has a blowhole, and they call it there. There's like a legend of it being this whale that got trapped within the rocks. And this area is so rugged. I mean, it's on the way to see the Sea of Cortez, right? Which is like prolific in regards to biodiversity and everything. And what was interesting is like here you drive down if this. Route from San Diego down to Ensenada is this beautiful highway. It's a famous highway in the world, and I've driven it a gazillion times. I can do it in my sleep, you know. It's beautiful because you got the cactus, you got the ocean, but the ocean is you got the beautiful beaches, but you've got this rugged, rock as well, volcanic. And when you get to La Bufadora, oh my gosh, this spray comes out of the blowhole, but there was this legend of this whale that got like a baby whale that got trapped in there. And so the blowhole is from the blowhole of the whale of the water coming out, which is quite cute. So everybody was, whale t-shirts and everything, merchandise wise, but it's so cool to be there. And I love all the legends, but the food, I'm telling you, man, the food and the vet, because they were growing. Out there, they had a farm that was growing baby vegetables. I mean, obviously, all vegetables have babies, they start at that time. But these baby vegetables were the main thing that they imported out. And I have to tell you, like a baby carrot was like a real, like it was real and it was delicious. I mean, this wasn't baby carrots that they took the big carrots and shaved down, these were real baby carrots. And it was like you could taste the flavor and some of the mole. That's it. Once you, there's this pollo, we call it the pollo place in Ensenada. It's, and I don't know if Papas and Beers, it's right across from Papas and Beers. And it's like pollo is part of the name. And we went there one time. Well, we've been there a gazillion times and had this amazing chicken dish with this mole. And I wasn't quite aware of mole at this point. It was still very, very new to Mexico, and driving there was a whole other thing. But anyhow, every time we went back there, it was not it this was not going to ever. That's how I learned, like, you better appreciate that mole that day because you're never going to have it again. It's like, that's it. You had this incredible flavor that blew your mind. Yeah, I mean, it was like the best whatever, you do want to have a cigarette afterwards, is what I'm saying. It was so good. And I felt like I was always chasing mole, and to this day, I have not ever tasted that I tasted in that place. And I can't even explain how good that was, but it was darn good. And I would like some, please, if someone can find that particular mole. But I went there so many times that it was just like, no, this one lady just made it that was her thing. But the mole is a big deal, and I believe actually even a big deal. Is that not like a big deal? I don't know, people in, we'll get into Cinco de Mayo, but I think mole is a big part of it. But mole is a big part of the food, in Mexico, right,
Well,
Paco?
mole is our national dish. It's our traditional national dish. And it's not, again, I mean, Mexican cuisine has a lot of European influence. So, but they, it was created because either a bishop was going to visit Mexico City or the New Spain, and some nuns wanted to create a dish that includes native ingredients and European ingredients, so they came up with mole. And the best national, well, it's not the best, but I mean the national dish is Puebla, which is again Puebla is a batalla. The Cinco de Mayo is related to Puebla too. Puebla is a state in Mexico, and so the best, well, the national dish is mole poblano, Puebla and mole. And when it comes to food, I mean, Mexico is a big territory. We have different states and different regions also. So mole comes, as far as I know, mole comes from the word mole, which is from Nahuatl, which is the Aztec language, and means salsa, means sauce. So it was no word salsa.
Sauce.
It was if someone wants to refer to chiles with tomatoes, and because we didn't have any onions or cilantro, they were not from here. They were brought from Europeans, and even garlic. I mean, they're not from the New World. So, but mole is what was known as sass or salsa, and it became mole. They used the word mole, and so. Yeah, they use European ingredients with Mexican native ingredients, and they create the mole paste. And it wasn't with chicken; they serve it with turkey. When you think of turkey, it could be very gamey, but it also could be very dry meat. It's not as juicy as as chicken. So the reason why mole or most of the moles are very heavy and hearty and tasty is because the meat, the traditional meat, which is turkey, is not as tasty. I mean, whenever we make turkey on Thanksgiving here, we had to marinate and brine, and then put ingredients to our turkey, put a lot of butter, and we use gravy. Well, it's the same thing in Mexico when we cook turkey. We had to make sure that at some point it tastes good. The meat, I mean, the protein with the sauce. Same thing with, it's a balance, right? The same thing with here on gravy. I mean, turkey and gravy here. The gravy has to complement the meat. And so,
It's
yeah,
true.
that's where mole, yeah. But again, there are different moles. They're different. My mother is from the state of Michoacán, a little town called Zitácuaro. And I honestly, I love my grandma, but I never liked her mole, or their mole is very plain to me, but they love their mole, right? They grew up with that mole, which for me is just like, it wasn't my favorite mole. I like my mom's mole, and which is kind of spicy, hot, and a
You
little bit
better
of
not send them
sweetness.
this podcast.
They probably know that. They probably know that it's not number. I mean, sometimes I crave it, but I have to be in the mood, right? Again, you grew up with certain tastes of food, and then you want you always wanted to mimic that. The reason why I like to cook, or the reason why I cook, is because I love to eat. Not because I really wanted to spend hours in the kitchen cooking. It's just because I really wanted to taste something good whenever I sit down and enjoy my meal. I wanted to make sure that if I messed up, then there is nobody else to blame but me. But if it is good, God, you know, it's like, oh, I'm so proud, I'm so good, I'm enjoying my meal.
It's an
So,
art, man. It's an art.
oh yeah, and it's a time consuming and it's an art. Yeah, it's cooking is a when we talk about having cooks in houses or homes, back then it was a full time position. Even being a housewife was a full time position. And because sometimes, I mean, I prepare our dinner, for sure our dinner is prepared at home from scratch. And when I say something quick, it probably takes an hour and 30 minutes. And I'm not kidding, right? That's something quick because I have to chop and dice and fry. And also, you know, I have to watch carbs and sugar intake and all that. So I pretty much do our dinner, make our dinner from scratch. And but honestly, when I think about it, is when I want to elaborate, when I want to do a more elaborate dish, then it can take 4 hours, 6 hours, and sometimes when we watch shows, we can see why it was stressful to be a cook, or it was, or sometimes just being a, you know, a housewife requires time. Just for cooking, just before the cans, before the microwave, before that, it's just following the recipes. Recipes were created in order to make, you know, to find, to meet that balance between the ingredients. And I think at some point we skip the way of making things, and that's why sometimes we get stomach problems or issues. It's because you know, with the globalization and then the recipes not being followed, and also the foods that we combine, they upset us. We ended up with upset stomachs. So, and I think this is so. I mean, again, a meal is not just it's not just food. A meal is just like it's what am I going to have before? It's the aperitif. It's the appetizer, and then the main course, and then what am I drinking while I'm eating also, and then I guess my dessert, and all that is it's a form to me. It's a formality, right? It's something that unfortunately we have kind of lost. Sometimes we do. I just have to eat. I have to fix a meal, and then we only have half an hour for lunch, half an hour for dinner, or 15 minutes for breakfast. And it's just about convenience. It's not about nutrition. It's not about what am I mixing, what am I putting in my meal, or how is this going to support me during, you know, through the day. And but that's another topic. Yeah, but you
Well,
go
no,
back
but
to Molly. Yeah.
this is an important thing because in Mexico, I mean, there's definitely street food like street tacos and things like that, right? That you can get that are amazing. You can get, you know, all kinds of snacks and from carts and people walking around with carts. You know, you can get all of that,
Yeah.
which is awesome. But it's,
One of
but
the
that's
things.
a snack. But it's not like where you sit down and eat. Like to me, like in living in Mexico, it is very European in that way of actually the culture is actually having a conversation, having your friends, or it's a date night or what have you, but
Correct.
you
That
know,
is something, yeah.
it is an art form. It's part of. I remember going to in Tijuana, going to an expo. It was like a food and wine expo, and this was, oh my gosh, I'm going to say maybe 20 years ago. I don't know, 15 years ago. And this is when we lived in California and we went over with the magazine and everything. And it blew my mind what was going on in Mexico. And we met so many people that I really don't think that, and it still drives me nuts because I know our travelers go all over Mexico, but they don't know what is right over the border, you know, in Southern California is right there and what there is. And a lot of times Tijuana gets skipped and everyone goes to Rosarito Beach. And but that Food and Wine Expo, I mean, you've got wonderful wineries in Guadalupe Valley. I mean, it's incredible. But it was all about the experience. And now it's interesting. You know, we do so many interviews on this, and tourism and travel is all about the experience. And I'm like, well, if you lived in Mexico or went to Mexico more often, you'd know it always is. In Africa, it was about the experience. It was about the right flowers on the table according to the dish of food. It was the whole thing. And it really didn't even matter about your budget. It was about the experience and being with family, but having this atmosphere that was dedicated to joy. Quite frankly,
Correct.
I think that's what it is.
I totally agree with you. Girl, I have some rules whenever we sit down for dinner, right? And the first rule is when I call for dinner, that means you have to be there before even I call, right? That was my mom's
Yeah.
rule. It's just like there was no like I'm coming. That didn't exist in the house that I was growing up. My mom always said I didn't spend so much time fixing a meal for you guys to tell me I'm coming, so no, it's when I say like dinner, when food is ready, you guys have to be right here. Wash your hands and be ready and sitting down. And that's the first rule. The second rule is hot food needs to be eaten as hot as you can, right? And cold food the same, right? It's not like I'm gonna sit over my salad for, I'm gonna sit, I'm gonna eat my salad within 30 minutes. No. Right, or I'm gonna eat my soup, my hot soup during the winter, and within 30 minutes. No, it's meant to be hot. It's meant to be cold. So those are the things that my mom always said.
Wow.
My mom had 10 kids. So by the time my
Oh,
mom was
wow.
done with cooking,
Oh my gosh.
but by the time my mom was done with cooking, she did not sit down and eat with us. My mom just kind of serves us, and I always believe that she enjoys seeing us enjoying the food. And that's something that I have. I had that from my mom, because again, my cooking school started with my mom at my mom's kitchen. I was just kind of chopping and dicing and helping. And at some point, I think when I was probably 7 or 8, I was able to fry eggs, and I have 3 siblings that are younger than me. And at some point, if my mom wanted to sleep in and we were up and I was hungry, or we were hungry, I was able to fry eggs and make eggs with fried tortillas per se, right? Something easy,
Oh, I
something
do that.
really.
Oh,
So
this is my
yeah, I
new
was at.
thing. I gotta tell you this, man. This is my new thing. I have been taking little, the little street taco size, right? Some tortillas, put it in a pan. I heat them up so they're almost crispy, but they're not quite yet. Then I put the cheese. I know this is probably not what your doctor ordered, but seriously, this is my quick breakfast dish, tortilla. Then you put cheese, grated cheese, like Mexican style, the different
Yes.
blend of cheeses, right? And then if you can, put a little bit of avocado. Now the avocado has, you
Oh yeah.
cannot take this off until the avocado is cooked all the way through. You cannot, it has to be hot. Do not have cold avocado with this. And I'm getting like your mother. Then you put an egg, you open an egg, and you need to do it in a small frying pan. Do not try to do it in a big one. I just tried that. It does not work. Put it in the small little pan, little saute pan. Then you put a little bit more cheese if you want, or put some salsa if you want, or whatever spicing, and you put the tortilla on top of that. So it's making a tortilla sandwich, like a quesadilla. It's like a breakfast quesadilla. But you don't have to scramble the egg or anything. You have the egg itself. Let it cook up a little bit, then you twirl it over, and it becomes this encased, just, it's delicious, but it's probably high cholesterol, I'm thinking. And that's probably why I've got an expanding waistline.
But again, it's just to me, it's just again, this is another topic, health, right? I mean, they say like cholesterol is just there's no, I mean, yeah, there is a cholesterol that is a little bit more invasive, but my belief is that cholesterol is good because the brain is pure cholesterol, right? and we need cholesterol to function. And again,
Okay.
this is going
I'll
into
take
another topic, but don't be afraid.
it.
One of the things that I have learned being diabetic, because I was diagnosed with diabetes and I don't take I refuse to take medications. I'm going to wait until I turn 50 so I can start taking medication and enjoy more food, of course. But I think one of the biggest pressures in life is food, especially good food, food that you enjoy. It doesn't have to be necessarily, to me, it doesn't have to be necessarily expensive food, but it has to taste good. It has to give you pleasure. You have to enjoy it. And that's the reason why I cook, because I want to enjoy. I do intermittent fasting because of the diabetes, and my only meal a day, it has to taste good. That's why I cook.
And Johnny, I want to ask Johnny, does he make you, does Paco make you get there and like, it's hot soup, you better be there right now? Does he do that to you?
I
I love
am
it
scolded if, yeah, because if I'll be working on a music project or something, and he'll be right now go down
though.
and.
It's
And
That's it.
I mean, yeah, it does make a difference, because if it's, it's right off the grill and everything, it tastes wonderful.
It's at its prime. It's like someone coming late to a show and then halfway through and disrupting the audience. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's kind of that same thing, you know, but I mean, we always talk about what's Paco making for dinner tonight. I love this conversation. So I'm gonna say, I know this is airing on Cinco de Mayo, but I mean, we're talking about like food and it is about taking time and really having some respect for, you know, the food and there's so much, across the country. Wherever there's, you know, a Mexican restaurant and it, you know, it is going to be from a different place. And that's the joy we have as traveling the country is we get to taste different, like it, the way one person makes a mole or a burrito or, you know, chilaquiles, or the chilaquiles is like, oh, oh, my favorite. How one person will do it will be different from another region of Mexico, just like how the South makes, you know, how they even
I
make
think,
burritos, even, and they make
correct. And
tamales
again,
versus.
the tamale in Mexico City is totally different from the tamale in the state of Sonora or Sinaloa or even Michoacán or Oaxaca. And there is the same concept, because it's corn dough with some fat. Pretty much is, I mean, most of the time is a lard, pork lard, and some filling. And it just depends. It just depends on the region. And yeah, it's the same dish. Enchiladas in Baja are totally different than enchiladas in Oaxaca. And because of, again, the ingredients, the spices, and the red enchiladas. I mean, growing up in Mexico City, I never had ground beef red enchiladas. Never in my life. I met cheddar cheese in California. I mean, we only had certain types of cheese in Mexico, but cheddar cheese was not part of our pantry or our fridge. And then, yeah, I mean, there's some of, I mean, I love spices more than heat is the spices. I love the Mexican oregano. I love cilantro. I love cumin. And when I came to America, also, I embrace all those spices, all those flavors. And sometimes I integrate that into my cooking. It's not, I'm not really a fan of, which might call of, the fusion, right? If the only, unfortunately, the only dishes that I cannot make good are Chinese, because I have tried some Thai recipes, and I have tried some Italian, I guess American Italian recipes, and some even Indian food. And but Chinese is, I like Chinese food, but I cannot mimic it because I don't have the equipment and I don't know all the ingredients. But when it comes to, yeah, when it comes to Mexican food, it depends on the region and also the taste of the people, right, that you're cooking for. I remember when I met Joni, Joni didn't like cilantro. One of the first things that I think when we start talking and he was like, oh, I don't like cilantro. Oh, okay, that was kind of a little offense for me because I love cilantro. And I was like, what? My mom used to give you some a
Johnny.
warm, a hot tortilla with cilantro and salt, and that was heavenly for me. And you don't like cilantro? But I mean, honestly, I mean, it's nowadays. I mean, he can tell you, right? As he
Opposites
used
attract.
to,
Come
yeah.
on.
I don't
Yeah.
even know when it switched, but because before I met Paco, the times I had cilantro, like I remember I went to a Mongolian barbecue and of it on because I didn't know what and it just overwhelmed everything else to me, and it doesn't do that for me anymore. I don't know how that changed, but now I mean I like the flavor, and it just tastes integrated into everything else. It doesn't overwhelm everything like it, and I can put a lot of cilantro on and it doesn't do that. So I if I just got used to it or acquired, a taste, I'm not sure, but I do really enjoy it now, and it's good for you. So
Yeah, it is.
yeah,
It is good for
I
you.
yeah.
I was always weird about cilantro and parsley and they're related, and I just found out like how good they both are for us, and it's good for our bodies. Like celery is really good, but there's so much food in the Mexican cuisine, and I loved Anthony Bourdain. He really stood up for Mexican cooks and chefs. He's like, you guys, with all the drama and I don't want to get into political stuff because that's not what the show is on today. And it's, but he really stood up. He says, really? You eat because Mexican people have grown your food. And even on the food and whether it's meat or vegetables. And if you're going to talk about the chefs, the good restaurants that really make headlines and are really good, no matter how big or small they are, it is the Mexican people in there in that kitchen that know. And I totally believe and agree with him. It's really true. So I think Cinco de Mayo, it's not Mexico's Independence Day. So we got to remember that. I know we're airing it on this day, but today, this is a conversation and celebration of Mexico is a city and as a city as a country, but the Mexican way of life and the culture, the customs, the people, the food, the music, all of it. And I just, when we look at all of this, it's not Independence Day, people, but there's reasons, where Mexico's our southern, sister brother country, just like Canada's our northern one. North America hopefully we'll become more united in time. See, I'm not trying to be political at all, Johnny, but I'm just saying at all. But hopefully for that. But
Yeah,
let's
it took hundreds of years for the European Union to become to a common ground, and we are honestly the new world. I mean, honestly, it's going to take us probably a few hundred years before we can embrace and highlight each other's diversity. I don't think it's different. It's just the diversity, but I think we're on the path. And
Yeah, I think so. We'll get there. We'll get there. But Cinco de Mayo, you have a little backstory on this to explain why this is not Mexico's Independence Day, but this was really a battle that really also, this is kind of a united celebration of the Battle of Puebla.
Correct. Yeah, like I mentioned before, Puebla is a state in Mexico, and Cinco de Mayo in Mexico is, well, at least in Mexico City and the middle of the country, it's more a formal celebration. It's more a military and patriotic celebration because it was a time where, I mean, when Mexicans defeated the French army, and they were. I think the French army had about 6,000 soldiers, and the Mexican army were not only soldiers; they were local and farmers and people. I mean, local people that joined the army, and they were about 2,000. So it was the day that Yeah, that Mexicans defeated the they didn't yeah they defeated the French army, and there was a reason. I mean, again, this was totally unexpected, right? I mean, Napoleon III really thought that it would be a very easy taking over, and marching and taking the capital. But in order for the French army to get to the capital, they need to, I mean, they landed in the port of Veracruz and then marched to, they had to go to Puebla. And then that's what it happened in Puebla. It's called La Batalla de Puebla, the Puebla battle. And, or we know them as Cinco de Mayo. And yeah, that's when it happened. I mean, sadly, a year later, the French won. And, but it's the president declared this as a patriotic and national celebration because the victory of the Mexican army was unexpected.
That's
And again,
the
this
underdog.
was
The
not just
underdogs
because,
won.
yeah,
The underdogs
correct.
won.
And this was not just because France wanted to take over. No, I mean, France needed an excuse. I mean, the country was broke and the country had debt to Spain and England and France. And Spain and England said, well, you'll pay me whenever you can. And then France said, nope, I don't want that. I'm not going to wait. So I'm going to just take. I'm going to try to take over the country and expand the empire, the Mexican, I mean, the French empire. And at the same time, the civil war in the US was happening. So the plan of Napoleon was to support the southern states and, become allies with the southern states. But once the civil war was over, then France did not want to support the invasion of Mexico, and they just withdraw. So that I think that's the reason why Americans or yeah people in America should celebrate because if France would have conquered Mexico and support the southern states, then the history of America would be totally different than today's, you know.
Exactly,
So,
exactly. Yeah, it was still, yeah, this was a battle that it saved both countries, basically. You know, it's,
correct. Yeah,
you know.
once the Civil War was over, President Lincoln did not send support to the Mexican army, but he I mean, the government expressed the dislike of French trying to overtake Mexico. They were always opposed to that. However, there was never yeah, they were never they never support they never sent troops to Mexico to support. But yeah, I mean. Yeah, I think it was a win-win. It's part of history, and yep.
Okay. I think this is good history for us to know because I still say we get to have a margarita and, you know, some enchiladas or whatever we want and play some good music. And I think that's the thing is, you know, and to watch movies too. That's the other thing. You make films too. There's movies that, you know, are about both sides of, you know, unite. I think it's about unity when you look at it, about both countries being united. And I think definitely, I think Los Angeles has the biggest Cinco de Mayo festival in the country, is in Los Angeles, is one of them
You
anyway.
know, when
It's
I was growing up in Porterville,
yeah.
for whatever reason, we had a big Cinco de Mayo parade. I mean, all the high school bands marched, and there were all these floats, and it was I think it was the biggest parade in the valley. I don't know how much they've carried that on, to be honest. I've kind of lost touch recently, but when I was growing up there in the 70s, Cinco de Mayo parade was one of the biggest parades of the year. The only bigger parade was the Veterans Day parade. But yeah, it was and everybody came out from the town, and there were lots of Cinco de Mayo parties and all that. And I don't think most of my friends had no idea why they were doing it. Other, it was just, it's a, Mexican holiday that we're
No,
celebrating.
you probably thought that it was they probably thought that it was Mexico's Independence Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
Yeah.
like we talked
That's
about the
what,
4th of
yeah.
July, so it's the 5th of May.
Correct.
So,
Yeah, no, but again, I think the celebration or the festivity of Cinco de Mayo in America, of course, it's bigger than in Mexico, right? Except for the state of Puebla. The state of Puebla is a big deal for the state of Puebla, right? But for all, I think, again, speaking from my experience from Mexico City, it's a very formal celebration. Yeah, it's a holiday. We don't work. We don't go to school. But then at some point we have to march. And again, it's more like a military. It's more of a patriotic day. It's not a fiesta. But I think when it comes to the states, when it comes to the states, it's big and started becoming big, especially in Los Angeles with the Chicano movement, right? Back in the 60s or 70s and 80s. And and then at some point, I guess, again, beer companies and stores and I mean grocery stores and all that saw the potential, and we just have to say that yes, it does promote our economy, right? It does. It's a way to celebrate, and it's a way. It's not only cerveza or beer or alcohol. No, it's also the products. Like you say, avocados. Avocados are big in the Super Bowl during the Super Bowl, and they're also big in Cinco de Mayo. But it's also all the produce, right? And not only that is meat. We believe that carne asada is the staple of the Mexican grilling, but it's not. I mean, yeah, it's just an idea, right? Certain regions like the north side of the country, yeah, carne asada is big, but in the north, like some other parts of Mexico, it's just we don't do carne asada. We just do some kind of like very thin, quick pan, maybe pan fry, meat. But again, when we talk about the how Cinco de Mayo celebration in America affects local economies, it's important.
Oh,
Because
it
it
is.
does. I mean, the people, yeah, not only restaurants, but also bars, even if they're not Mexican bars or Mexican restaurants, they have some kind of special. I think nowadays, a lot of the places, they have to diversify their menu in order to please the diversity of the population. And
Yeah, I agree.
yeah, I think as it any holy, I mean, every holiday in our calendar was created in order to stimulate the economy, right? And I think Cinco de Mayo, especially in big cities in the country, has become staple also just to stimulate the economy, the local economies. And it's not only, again, it's not, I don't believe it's only in Mexican restaurants, because I have seen flyers from big chain stores that they run their Cinco de Mayo specials.
Yeah, I think it's huge in the economy, and I think it reminds everyone to celebrate the cultures and that we are a melded country of these two cultures, or three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. We're diverse. Let's say culturally diverse, because like even the tamales, right? And like I know you were talking about Santa Fe. Santa Fe is like this incredible place that really showcases the Spanish and Mexican cultures united and the European. Some of it's not a good history. Let me just say, and the Native American cultures, and those are very connected. Mexico and Native American cultures of our country, which a lot of times these were moving tribes that went even came from Canada down. There's the Afro-Latino side of it too. I mean, that's a whole other huge thing. And so one of my things, as we travel the country documenting parks and public lands is There's this in trail, the Juan Bautista de Anza National Historic Trail. It's this crazy passion project I have of going to every site, which is huge. It is tracing the footsteps of Juan Bautista de Anza, and he basically led 600 people from Mexico over the border into the Tucson area, over through the Arizona side, right, from Sonora, Mexico. And that's, they marched all the way, not marched, but walked all the way to what is now the Presidio. And he claimed the Presidio. And so it was like the Mexico and the Spanish were kind of in this, like, who's going to get it? You know, and you've got to think that, you know, Baja was, you know, in parts of Mexico were parts of America were Mexican first. So anyway, they go across, and that, you know, San Francisco is because of Juan Bautista. No, only one lady died on that trek, and that's when she gave birth, and it was at the San Xavier del Abac mission outside of Tucson. And that was it. These people walked all the way from Arizona to what is now the Presidio. Is that amazing? It's like this history of these people doing it on foot. They weren't riding horses. They were on foot. The generals and the conquistadors and people like that got to ride. But these people walked all the way through, and there were Afro-Latinos. And I've talked to people who've actually gone against me, like, there were no Afro-Latinos. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, what? That's not, that's what? You need to go to your history book or something. But there's a huge movement of that in the National Park Service to teach that history and that it did occur. So I think it's Cinco de Mayo. These holidays a lot of times are silly, or they're remembering historic happenings like the Battle of the Puebla. But at the same time, it's about remembering and unifying, and play some music, have a party. Why not? You know, make a Mexican
I
meal
totally
tonight,
agree.
Learn something new, you know?
No, I think, again, I live half of my life in Mexico, and I live half of my life in America. Mexico was going to be my home. America is my house, but my heart is really, I embrace both of them. I love Mexico, but I love America too. I have to say, because most of my adult life has been in America, I think I embrace more the American culture and the norms. I love Mexico and I love my culture. I love the richness of my culture, the music. There is no way that I'm not going to cry whenever I hear mariachi music playing live, honestly. But again, it is not pure Mexican, right? Because Mexican, nowadays Mexican music has been influenced by, if not native Mexican music. I mean, the mariachi music, which is our national representation when it comes to music, it does have a lot. I mean, it mainly is European instruments, but it has its own identity. It's the same thing with food, right? But luckily, I mean, we have a lot of Spanish and French influence in our cuisine. And I mean, again, I'm proud, because when we mix all the ingredients and the way of cooking, it tastes good. The same thing with music, right? There are some genres in Mexican music that they're not my favorite, but there's some styles like polka, right? Polka, it's very German, Polish, and all that. We have polka in Mexico. That's the northern state of Mexico.
Now it's
we have polka.
We have norteño music, though, in Texas, which is like a combination of polka and the German side going into the Mexico side. It's like that's what I like about Texas, is the border music, man. I love that. Like,
correct.
The
yeah,
norteño
I mean, again,
music is awesome.
I think the sad part is just like how, again, we're not going to go into this, but the sad part is how we use define borders, right? Because when we talk, I mean, nowadays, nothing is really pure. Yeah, I believe that we all countries and even states of Mexico, we all have our identities and icons and things that define us as a community. But in the end, We are influenced by each other. That is, and I think the influence is for good. I mean, honestly, it is for good. Yeah, hamburger tastes different in America than it tastes in Mexico City, right? But I'm so glad that I got to taste both of them, right? And it's the same thing. A taco tastes different in California or in America than it tastes in Mexico City. But I'm glad, and I think it's I think hopefully at some point we'll just learn to embrace our diversity. I don't think it's different, but our diversity and enjoy more than trying just to focus on like what's so different between you and me, and you know, just like what can bring us together. And we're just
Yeah,
talking
that's
about
it.
races, right? I mean, people really focus on the territory. Oh yeah, this was at some point was part of Mexico. Well, let's just go back and honestly, the land was a land. I think the natives never said like, okay, well, the Aztec Empire goes all the way to California and Oregon and Texas. I mean, what now is Texas, and it's how it was claimed and how it's now divided. But I think at some point, I mean, the native had more harmony, right? I mean, and again, I'm not going to say much because again, this is another story, but Aztecs were not very, they were warriors too, right? They were conquerors too. They like to go and take. And so that's another story. For Independence, Mexico. I mean, Mexico's Independence Day, but yeah, it wasn't the reason why they also, I mean, Spain came and conquered them is because a lot of other ethnic groups actually joined the Spaniards in order to conquer Mexico City or Tenochtitlan. So it
Well, I
wasn't, they were
think
not, I mean, again, go ahead.
it everybody wants something of each other's countries, and the whole border thing, it's I get it, but it's like, okay, come on, you know. So it's everybody wants to take something from somebody somewhere. I'm one of those people who don't care about just I don't yeah, I think
I honestly think
I
that
don't
we all
believe
are.
I don't, I mean, I wish we were in the world where we didn't need passports and documents and yeah, you know, but that's
But
not the
I
way
think
human.
at some point it has to happen. I think at some point it's going to happen. You and I probably won't see it, and hopefully we will, but honestly, it takes time.
Yeah, we
Honestly,
have to
I
go
think
through
it's just,
tyrants
I think
first.
on, yeah, I think it's honestly, it's just about, it's to me, it's just a, it's a trend, right? It's just like, this is trendy right now. But when I talk to Johnny and because again, I have lived in different countries, right? I mean, I've long periods of time I've seen, and I worry sometimes, but in the end, humanity has to, we have to overcome all the, our differences that we're experiencing right now. I think at some point we're gonna get there, and I think that's very human, right? What I think sometimes makes humanity thriving. Is that right? Thriving,
No,
succeed is, yeah, it's just hope. We have to have hope, good hope, and things are going to change at some point.
Yeah,
Well, you're
I think
talking about
I
the, go ahead.
go ahead, Jo no, Johnny, you go.
Well, we were talking about, you know, like I think part of it is openness. You know, like I always get so disappointed when I see friends traveling and they go to different countries and they eat at McDonald's in that country. You know, and you know, it's a for me like the more you can get into the local culture and taste the local
Oh yeah.
cuisine and all that,
Correct. Oh yeah.
that's where you learn and that's where you expand and you realize there's so much. And this notion that, oh, you know, we're the best, and
Oh no.
it doesn't have to be best or worse. It's all the all the different flavors and all the different amazing, things that we can learn from each other and share with each other. And we can see, oh, we're similar in this way. And oh, we're different in that way. And that difference is really interesting and stimulating and cool. And it's this a fear of the other that, and the assumption that acknowledging it even is somehow an attack on your way of life is so disappointing to me. And I think that's one of the things that, you were talking about confidence and, it's just being comfortable in your own skin and being curious and being interested in how other people do things.
I want to piggyback on that. I think just real quick on this, because I also want to tell people that May is Small Business Month. And May 19th through 25th is Travel and Tourism Week. And just before we recorded this, I did a panel discussion on the All Connected. And one of the panelists is Donette Silva Carter, who's from, from Tulare County, Tulare Chamber of Commerce. So she was on that, and our friend Glenn, and you've been on a show with him. And also we had Ward Heinrichs, the attorney, but you did a show with them on AI, Johnny. And we were talking about this importance of in travel to support the small business, because if you don't, you end up with all the McDonald's and things like that. And I think you really, you're so right about that, because I think people go to the McDonald's because it is out of fear. Like in Mexico, when Nancy and I lived in Mexico, people are like, well, can you drink the water? And I'm like, oh, I'm like, I don't have to try to watch my language. It's like, really, there's different water systems in Mexico, just like in every country has a different way of they get their water. Where we were, we had a pila in the house, and people would deliver water, and people delivered baked goods to your house. They drove around with a car with baked goods. Are you kidding me? On a Sunday morning, someone would bring me baked goods to the house to buy? Like, who does that? This is awesome,
Mexico.
So it's this fear factor was like, well, what's in the baked goods? Did they wash their hands? I'm like, what is wrong with you? And when we lived in Kenya, my grandmother came out to visit, and she was horrified because the bread would go out in the grocery store with no bags on it. I mean, it's like, and so we were just used to all of this kind of stuff. And I mean, we went to the butcher, and they actually chopped it out on a stump, a tree stump. Yeah. Oh my God. The meat, like, oh, I can't, she wouldn't eat. She would not eat for her first week. And eventually out of starvation, she ate. And I was like, do you need a can of Spam or something? Because, like, here we eat real food, and there is, a can of something is almost a luxury, because you're importing stuff now. Because we didn't have imports in Kenya. We didn't, we had, sanctions were being put on our country when we were living there. And that meant you didn't have, at one point, there was no way to get your tire repaired if you had a hole in your tire, which happened all the time on Kenyan roads. We used Band-Aids. Everybody used whatever bandages they could just to get from A to B. And of course, that didn't quite work. But this is the way the sanction thing should be stopped. It hurts the people. It's a political economy game that actually hurts the actual people of the country. It's insane. But this is the thing. It's that fear factor. And that's what I love about this conversation with the two of you, is that let's just try. Go. And that's the beauty of travel. And music does this as unity. Music does that. It's like, oh, we can enjoy a song together. Maybe we come from completely opposite backgrounds, walks of life, political parties, but we like this song. Who knows what gets on the dance floor, and then suddenly like, oh, you're on that political party. I don't like you, but you like me on the dance floor. Come on. Food, breaking bread, having these conversations over dinner. That's something important, and I think you should be there for the hot soup. I do. I agree with your mother, Paco, because someone took the time to make you something, and you should be there for when it's ready at its prime spot. Just saying.
Yeah, I think there's I think it was my sister-in-law who talked to Johnny and said, what was the expression, Johnny, that Rebecca used? Is it food? Is it food love, love food, or?
Oh,
food
love
is a
language.
Form of love. Yeah, it is.
Love what? Love what?
Love language.
Love language, yeah. But again, mine is food, right? Because
Oh
again,
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Another. Yeah.
what
Like
is my language
she was
to
talking to me
spread
about
John that
Paco.
I
She says,
love him?
"Yeah. Food is Paco's way of showing he loves you." Yeah.
Oh, that's
Among
sweet,
other
man.
things, right? Among other things.
Yeah, of
But
course, yeah.
yeah, no, but I mean,
Yeah.
again, again, to me, food is one of the biggest pleasures in life, right? Among the sunset and among the sunrise and nature and colors and but food is one of the biggest pleasures in life. So
Lisa, you were
everything I
talking about. Ex oh, go ahead.
go
No,
ahead. No, but what I meant is
ahead.
that's a way to show love, right? Everything that I put in my mouth or everything that I taste, it had to taste good. I'm not going to put a piece of cardboard and say like, oh, okay, I'm just eating, right? Because it's pure fiber, right? But it's cardboard. No, it has to taste good. It has to have decent ingredients. If no good, at least decent ingredients. And I need to know what I put in my food. That's just, those are my rules whenever I cook. And it's not only for Johnny, it's for everyone who come across to my table or but my dining room, or if I go visit my, every time when I enjoy something, I wanted to share with people that I love. I love Chinese food. I love Thai food. I mean, I love Italian and French. I mean, there's some dishes that I would love to share with my siblings, especially. Some of them embrace them, some of them deny, but it's just, if my experience was good, then I wanted to try to mimic, and then I wanted to share it with my beloved ones, at least my beloved ones. Right, the same thing with you when you travel, right? The same thing when we travel is I wanted to experience, if I have a good experience traveling to certain place, I want to share that with my beloved ones or someone that I care for. So, yes, I think it's a, yeah, music, food. Music and food are totally universal languages, especially music.
And travel, and people
Could
who
you t
travel start to you understand what when you read the news, when people are like when it's fake news or whatever you want to call it, like it's like you're headlining instead of actually talking about the people of the place. You know, they blow things up, or sometimes it is real. You know, there's good news sources, but when you travel somewhere, you actually understand the people and the place. You know, it's like you, I know so many people have gone to Maui, for example. When the wildfires happened in Maui, their hearts were broken. It wasn't just the places, but they remember their memories of the people they met, the shops they went into, you know, maybe the boutique hotel they stayed in, you know, that kind of thing. The people they met, you know, it wasn't just, oh, I went on vacation there and that sucks because I just went to the beach and that's all I did. You know, the ones who connect and actually travel and get out and meet people, they understand, oh my gosh, I understand how this affects everyone there. Like, I get it. Wildfires are terrible for everyone. You live in California. I mean, we've been through them and we've all been through that kind of thing. And it's kind of, you know, I think as travelers, you understand, and it just is like, oh wow, I've been here, been there, and you have a certain attachment. And then when you go to back to a place, and I call it like a deja vu dust, because we've been back through places, maybe it'll be 10 years later or something, and you have memories from before, and even the smell reminds you of the place, and you go there, and it
Oh
just,
my
it's
yes.
kind of like you're leaving a piece of you there, and it's like, it's weird, even if it's changed and it's maybe not even in a positive way, it's almost like you were back in your body of when you were then. I hope I was skinnier, or skinny. Let's just like even start that. But you see what I mean? It's like this weird thing. So I'm very much one of those kind of woo-woo people that I do believe that we have energy, that wherever we go and whatever we do, we give it. And we receive it. And so whenever our energy is, so if it's cooking, if it's music, if it's art, whatever we're doing, whatever we're putting out there, it's going to be in return too. So karma does exist in some ways because energy is in circles. It's like songs have a loop. That's a loop system. Everything in the universe is a loop system. It's a web. It's not just a one direction. It doesn't work that way. Even in our nervous system and our bodies do not work that way. Everything is a loop in a way. So I just believe that when we travel more and we get outside our comfort zone, which means you're living in a box, which is not circular, which is not natural. Boxes are not natural. That is not part of what nature did. There's no boxes in nature that I remember. I don't see a box. And think about it. It's an all
well, totally.
Kind of rounded. So that
yeah,
means I get to have the butt that I do. I'm just saying. I've been eating way too much food, way too many avocados. I'm just saying. But no, I think that's the beauty of this conversation today.
Yeah. You're tasting someone's food, hearing someone's music. You taste the love and the personality that someone puts into the food, or hear it in the music, or see it in the art, or you know, in the dance, and that's where you get to know the people behind, you know, behind it. If it's done with love and not just quickly manufactured, you know, like, you know, Paco talked about the amount of time it takes to make a meal, and you know, we spend hours on the videos and the music and all that, and you spend many hours with your podcast, and it's that time and energy and soul that you put into it that's where people get to know who you are, and by sharing that with each other, that's how we break down all those barriers.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to tell you, we've got to get running, guys. We've done a good long conversation here, and we're gonna have a music playlist up on Spotify for everyone, with some select music that will remind you of Mexico, is from Mexico, that just celebrates Mexico and the people of Mexico and musicians. Like, I gotta put some Carlos Santana in there. Sorry, he's going in.
Oh yeah,
gotta have some of that. Yeah. You know, so there's a lot of different music, and you put War in there. I did not know they did a Cinco de Mayo song, Johnny, at all. I had no clue. Now, and they're one of my favorite bands. I love them. You know, and I get into wars about when Eric Burton was War versus the Animals, and I vote on the War side, and nobody else agrees with me. I don't understand it. They were so much better. Have you seen the old school Eric Burton music with War?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. It's transcendental, man. It's like, whoa, we're going up. We're levitating.
Yeah.
The animals are fun, but this was levitational music, man. It was so good.
Oh, yeah.
Dang. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so it has been a pleasure getting to know you on the show, Paco. You got to come on a cooking show.
Oh,
and have
sure.
fun. It'll be fun.
Sure, anytime. You can meet me anytime. Yeah,
I feel like I'm hungry now.
It was very fun. Again, it was very fun, and it was an honor and a pleasure just to be in show. And thank you for the invitation. And
thank you.
Yeah, I hope I wasn't too boring. Yeah.
No. I just want to know what's for dinner tonight, because this is what happens with Johnny every time. So what's for dinner? Because apparently you changed
I
it
think,
last time.
So far it's going to be used like roasted cabbage and some leftovers of nopales. So, yeah, you have a. Cactus. I make cactus and
nopales.
Yeah, nopales, which is you know, the cactus leaf.
The prickly pear leaf. So when you do this, are you keeping the skin on, or you see, now I'm going into cooking mode? But like,
No. It's not the pear leaf. It's just the leaf itself. It's just the nopales. It's just the cactus leaf. It's not the pear.
Yeah. No. I mean, do you leave the leaf on? Do you leave the green, the skin? I'm sorry, I had the wrong word. The skin on.
The skin on. No, I just removed
the outer coating. The outer coating, Paco.
Because of the thorns, you have to take that off, right?
I just trim the thorns. That's it. And then the leaf, I just slice it and cook it with tomatoes and onions and cilantro.
Oh, so you just cook it like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Slice it and dice it.
Again, we're talking about the pear. We're talking about the leaf.
No, she's talking about the leaf, Paco, but just
no,
the,
no, it's the paddle. Like, it's actually a paddle. It's the paddle.
Yeah,
that's what we used
right.
to call them, cactus paddles. Yeah, yeah. So it's the actual green paddle. The pear is like the fruit. And that has all the seeds in it,
Correct.
and that's what you make
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
margaritas
we don't,
from.
yeah, no.
That's the margarita
Yeah, no,
part.
it's just, this is just, yeah. No, I don't remove the, I don't remove the, yeah, the skin or
The
the,
Okay, you
yeah,
just take
the
the
thorns.
needles
Yeah,
off.
just the thorns.
Okay.
Yeah, just the needles off and then just cook them. So soft.
I'm gonna
And
have to
again, you
try
have to
it.
buy them. So there,
Yeah.
again, we have to make a show about the culinary stuff. But today,
I like
the,
this.
yeah, it's probably going to be a veggie dinner craft cabbage in the fridge. I'm just going to make roasted cabbage. Cabbage is, I mean, it's one of those beautiful, amazing things that was created by nature and God, universe or
Hey,
whatever.
listen.
It's, oh God, it's so good. Cabbage, raw or baked or, I mean, it's so versatile. And we're probably going to have roasted cabbage and nopales. And we'll have to find some kind of protein, maybe quesadillas.
Oh,
Yeah.
quesadilla. Now I'm into that. Like the quesadillas, I've gone overboard. I have. But honestly, the cabbage, like I had shredded cabbage with potato flautas in Yuma, Arizona. And I have to tell you, with salsa, like, oh my gosh, I didn't, because everyone's always used to, like, always rice and beans and rice and beans. And I'm telling you, there's so much more than rice and beans in Mexican cuisine.
Oh
And
yeah,
there's also a whole different selection of rice and beans. Like, it's seriously. And what I like to do is mix Indian, African, and Mexican together. That's my cooking. And that's like a whole other world. And sometimes it really works, and sometimes it 100% and more does not. So I'm just saying, you have to know your spices. You have to know your spices, but curry and chili go together. They do. And you have to, oh, yeah. And I feel like cooking, but I can't now. So anyway, see you when we get to Pasadena, guys. I'm hungry
Yeah,
now.
okay,
But
absolutely.
I'm gonna
Sure.
try and play with Nopales now. I've always been nervous to do it, so you've inspired me. You've given me a tip on how to do it, so that is
I
awesome.
mean, Johnny loves them. I mean, Johnny, when I met him, he was a very, he was, I mean, he was not difficult, but he was not keen to explore. And then one time he tried a cactus with cheese and beef,
Oh.
and he loved it.
Oh,
And that
you had to
was the
sneak in
key.
the cheese. See, that's with Nancy with Brussels sprouts. No way until there's cheese on it, then we can get her to anything green. You have to put cheese on it, and then you can slowly sneak her into it. And I don't tell her half of the things that I put in cooking, because then she'll say no. If I say there's bacon on it, she's in 100%. I don't care what it is. It's bacon. Okay, I can do it. So then you just put really healthy things and a teeny bit of bacon, just lure it in, just have to lure her
Yeah, just
in.
have this. Yeah,
Just
totally. I totally. Yeah, and
tiny
again,
little bit.
it's a once you try it again, it's just like nopale, the cactus nopale. The texture is like okra. If you like okra, you're gonna like nopales a lot.
Oh, it's got that slimy
If you
stuff,
don't,
like that. Yeah, that slimy. Sorry, but yeah, slimy. It
you
is.
might. Yeah, no, there's a way to cook nopales in order not to get the slimy. But I'm trying to say the texture. Just think of okra without the slimy. Because there is a way to make, I think there is, again, I'm not an expert in okra, because okra is a vegetable that was introduced to a few
It's
years
African.
ago,
It's
and I
African.
learned.
I
Yeah,
thought it was.
and it's just like, it's again, I just tried and I like it. And well, the nopales is similar. It's not the same as similar, but there is a way for you just to avoid that sliminess, right, Johnny? I mean, Johnny has tried, and sometimes
Johnny
depends on the
doesn't
way
want
that you cook
slime.
it. Yeah, sometimes it's slimy, but as a recipe, again, I don't change recipes, but sometimes it's just you don't even see it, you don't even taste it, you don't even experience it. So you go like, oh, okay, well, it's not bad. But I think it's just the way that you cook it and the way that you prepare it. And yeah, not everything is. That was just an example of the taste, also, because it's a little, it's not exactly plain, but it's a little kind of sour, and yeah, it is, but it's good. I mean, honestly, it's good for your system, like anything green, right?
Well
It's
said.
really good
Well
with
said,
melted
Paco. You did good.
Oaxaca cheese.
Ooh,
Oh, yeah.
anything.
Okay.
Oh, listen, like jalapenos with. Oh, you know what, guys? We're gonna go because otherwise we're going over our time here. But oh man, now I'm like totally like I want some chili rellenos right now. I'm like, I would love. I want my chili quilies in the morning, and but there's a way to do the chili quilies, and it's like it has to be. There's just certain things, and you can tell like there's like I just want to say like just. Let the people who know how to make chili quilies make them. And if you want to make them at home, go for it and do it until whatever you like it and whatever. But some restaurants shouldn't just throw it there on a menu without knowing how to do it. They need to stop it. Do not, this is a very important dish that should be treated with respect. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Well, thank you both. Everyone, keep up with Johnny at here. Johnny.com. Have I got that right? I've got all my files. Okay, here, Johnny.com. I think everything of you memorized in my head. And then I'm like, what account are we talking about? YouTube? But the YouTube is here, Johnny, right? Here, Johnny.
It is, yes. Just put the at
Facebook.
sign in the search bar at here, Johnny, and my channel will come up.
And then you can see the videos that Paco made with Johnny. So check that
Yeah,
out. And
absolutely.
congrats again on all your successes, Johnny and Paco. So happy for you.
Thank
And we
you.
can't wait for next month. Next month is June. I wonder
Yes.
what we're going to have to talk about. It's summertime. We might have to do some summer music. I don't know. We might have to play some
Yeah.
Beach Boys. You never know. Thank you, guys.
Think
Thank you,
so.
Paco.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Thank you.
They had a
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio. Keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com.